Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 104, part 1, Pride. Today is Friday, July 3rd, 2009. Hello, and thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of July, starting it off with a bang. Well, the 4th of July, get that. Come to Minnesota, June, July. These are the months. The month of July, right now, we are out in our more than 10,000 lakes, boating, fishing, with our water skidoos. We are just having so much fun, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And as you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. We're located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikrokodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. We will fix you up. We have got lots of food. We have so much food, we don't know what to do with it all, so we want to give it to you. How about that? So be sure to visit us online where you're not going to find any food, but you will find that you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our free food mission. So what do you think about that? Visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to, write this down, our blog, Flickr, where you're going to see so many photos you won't know what to do with them all. The podcast. Hopefully you are subscribing and listening to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday. If you're not, you can't blame us for your life, okay? Subscribe to the podcast. Life Vantage. You're going to find a link to Life Vantage. That is a direct link where you can buy our product, Protandim, that reduces your oxidative stress that causes free radicals. You know you've got them. You know you've got free radicals. You need to reduce them. So let us help you. Protandim, you need to order it. Buy auto ship, save yourself some money. Start taking that one little pill every day. Fight those free radicals. Eliminate them. Check it out. Also, follow me on Twitter, and I will follow you. The blog. I'm coming back to the blog. You need to go to the blog every week to see the show notes for Pastor Paul's podcast. And there you're going to find interactive links to scriptures, which you know you need to read. You need to get in your Bible and start digging through these scriptures. You can't just listen to the message. Every message, we've got the scriptures. Check them out. If you need to, you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and you can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or a testimony at the blog. Now, if you want to, you could make an MP3 audio testimony and email it to me. I love audio emails. In the month of July, Pastor Paul's messages are going to include these. We're starting the month off with pride, and we know that needs to be dealt with. Then we go into, we need Holy Spirit direction, and that's where you're going to get that by reading your Bible as well as listening to Pastor Paul's message. Do you have a wounded spirit? Is God with you? These are some questions and the titles of the messages you're going to hear this month, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Have a great month. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled Pride. Of all the seven sins, pride, anger, envy, impurity, gluttony, slothfulness, avarice, notice pride comes first. Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before a fall. Notice it doesn't say cometh. It said goeth. Pride has to go before everything. Has to go before the fall. Has to go before everything else. Because all the sins are roots. Their roots are in selfishness. It goes ahead. No direction. No direction from above. No wanting any kind of direction. Always arguing the fact. Never giving in. Never listening to the Lord. Because pride is real self-esteem. Delighting in one's own superiority over other fellows. Proverbs 16 and 5 says, everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 29 and 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit. I, in my own walk, have tried to act out those little parts. Did you ever try to act like you had a humble spirit? I think everybody's guilty of that one. Now, I'm not talking about self-respect or a legitimate sense of personal dignity, but an undue self-esteem out of all proportion to one's actual growth and their actual worth. I think this type of egotism is repulsive to God and to man. Pride. Well, you say, I haven't got anything to be proud about. You can be proud and have a quarter in your jeans. Has nothing to do with it. It's strutting oneself in front of God and it's strutting oneself in front of men. It's called pride. And God, it says, hates it. It is an abomination to him, which means it makes him, in the original Greek, shudder. Can you imagine your heavenly Father shuddering? Huh? When we brag and tell stories that glorify self, we can't walk by a mirror without smiling at ourselves or striking a pose or putting on a movie star face for others. Come on now, who do I look like? I had a friend like that. He was always asking me, no, admit it, who do I look like? I look just like Kirk Douglas, don't I? Come on, admit it. Say, okay, you look like Kirk Douglas. You got a head and two arms and two legs, you know. Who's the best looking of us all? You stop in front of all the store windows. Why, you are, of course, and you're only about 13 or 14. I didn't know it at that time. God was preparing me for ministry. But Psalm 101 and 5 said, him that hath a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. It's talking about proud, domineering people who look down on the poor as if they were some kind of a worm or something. And I thought to myself, if all the proud people were cut off, those who provoke strife and enmity and discontent. I thought to myself, you know, the world census report would be a whole lot different. There'd be hardly anybody left. But see, you have to recognize those things. And I think that pride can take many forms. But it all comes, the Bible says, from a haughty heart. Some take pride in their looks. They spend all of their time. I think that's why God had me lose all my hair. Not that I was much to look at, but, you know, I had that hair, and I was always just keeping it just so. Well, that took a lot of my time, I'll tell you. But some take pride in their race, and you hear a lot of this now. You know, what are you? Who are you? Where'd you come from? That's like I'm a Greek, and I could say we started mathematics and gave you the alphabet and astrology and science and art and acting and sculpture and boxing and wrestling and architecture and Bible and the original Greek. We gave you democracy. We gave you bullfighting and navigation. Come to think of it, what would you dummies done without us? Now, I'm just saying that. I'm not saying that for any purpose. And you have to explain yourself. Otherwise, it goes off wrong. Or we're German. We're the greatest machinists or the rocket people or whatever. But we take pride in this type of thing. In an over-excess of it. Then we have those that have a pride in their businesses. Oh yes, we've been operating for 57 years. Never had a complaint. Top dog, number one, none better. 7 awards, you know. Did you ever find yourself talking like that? Oh, no. Well, pride in social life. Oh yes, I belong to the VFW. YMCA, the Alpha, Beta, Cum Laude, the VIP Club. I'm the president of the PTA, and I'm an usher at church, you know. Teach Sunday school, pillar of the community. But of all these prides, I see the most sickening is spiritual pride. Did you ever try to talk to someone who has spiritual pride? I said, bless you, to a person, and they said, oh, he does plenty. Okay. All right. I mean, that's the end of the conversation, too, wasn't it? Well, I had coffee with the Lord this morning, and he let me in on a few tips. Give me the lowdown, what's going on. Did you ever have someone pray for you, and they prayed like this? Lord, give this brother faith. Give this brother a message for the age. Give this brother joy. Give this brother meaning. Give this brother purpose. Give this brother a plan. And I, in the middle of one of those prayers, I said, he just did. He said, run. Here's a nursery, honey, if you're having problems there. And well, this guy said after he got all done, did you feel a spirit on that? And I says, yes, but I'm not quite sure what spirit it came from. Or someone who prophesies over the telephone to you. Because I find with spiritual giants, it's so hard to say good morning. They answer back with a question, good morning. Or you say, how's it going? And you get ready for a Bible study. They'll keep you on the phone for a whole hour. Well, you say, I praise God for you. You say, do you really mean that? Now you think about just what you said there, brother. Or bless you. No, bless you. Or I love you. Do you realize what you just said? Would you die for me? Of course not. I may have a hard time even living around you. Well, that's the way God looks at things, I know. Pride of the spirit is what's caused Lucifer, the devil, to fall. Isaiah 14 and 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. See, the thought dropped from his mind down into his heart. And you know what? It showed up in his face. When someone has got something down in their heart that's fallen out of their head, it shows up on their face. Always. Greed shows on the face. Anxiety shows on the face. Fear shows on the face. Joy falls upon the face. Greed. Discontentment. All those things. Gossip. You ever seen somebody with the gossip jowls? They got jowls from gossiping. They get old before their time. And he said like this, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Wow. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. But notice here, Lucifer says five times, I will. I will exalt above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of God. I will be like the Most High God. I will be above God. There's the pride of the heart. Number one sin in all of the universe, pride in the heart. Do you ever feel that pride in your own heart? You know what happens when we begin to feel self-contained? When we feel self-sufficient? We are on very dangerous ground. Spiritual pride. Because you know why? It trusts in one's own virtue rather than the grace of God. And it is earmarked, by the way, for God's judgment. Spiritual pride. It'll make you have contempt for other people. Be haughty and above people. It will make you seek a special company. Well, you would never come down to the north side. You would never lower yourself into the congregation of the poor and the needy. Because you have to be in a special company, Company A, a special group. After all, you know, we're way above that. We've grown. We've all grown that. There's no need for it. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves telling God what we need and what we don't need. It will make you lofty. It will make you feel above others. Oh, that's a hellish thing, isn't it, that pride? Doesn't it say in the Bible that before that we're saved, we are the sons of the devil? Then you have this inborn thing. Someday I'm going to minister on that adoption. What the Lord has shown me about it. Say amen. We come out of this hellish affair with the world and being born into the world. And then our Heavenly Father adopts us. And we're all hung up with all these different diseases of the mind and diseases of the heart. And self. But spiritual pride. No, I had to leave so-and-so body because I just outgrew them. Oh, God. Say amen, somebody. Seems to me a lot of people have outgrown helping people in other countries and starving nations and so on like that, and we've become dead to the cries of the hungry. While we're above that now, we must get more teaching, and thousands are starving to death, and my God, Christians are just sitting down on their frumpy rumps talking about what they can learn and why they have this kind of thing and why they have that kind of thing and why they're so unhappy and everything and such on and on and on and on and oh, skink. How many heard what I just said there? Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to have some kind of teaching, but you always have to learn about yourself. You're nasty and perverted outside of God. That's the truth. We all are. We are repulsive to God. That's like the Pharisee of old. I thank God that I'm not like other men. Smug, conceited, arrogant. I know the Bible says that God loathes this spiritual pride because it presumes to be good in its own right. Well, I've always been a good person. I've always tried to excel in business and be a good mom and a good... But for why? Because of pride. You've embarrassed your mother and father. Look what you've done. You've gone to school looking like that. Look what you've done to our pride. Everything is built around mom or dad, or built around the selfish kid. Or they're taught to excel in some sport for the wrong reason. Because it will make dad look good, or mom look good, or whatever. So sometimes we can't get things done. We shoot it off on our kids and say, come on, do it for mom, will you? Do it for dad. I think spiritual pride is like the tramp strutting around in rags and imagining that he is the best dressed of all men. You imagine that now? A little old hat all bent up and a raggedy old scarf around here, an old tie and the shirt collar turned up and all greasy around the neck and everything, and little whisks of hair hanging all over the place, and old shoes with holes and the toes sticking out of the sides, and a ragged old suit strutting around like he's the best dressed man in the world. But I thought to myself, spiritual pride would be humorous if it weren't so tragic. It is a tragedy. And God has, he's stated and he's given and sounded a stern warning for the descendants of the Pharisees in James 4 and 6. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Whew. How do you get humble? Through a test and a trial and a tribulation sent by God. God is the only one that can humble you. You know, you can be on welfare and need humbling. Say amen, somebody. Oh, isn't it humbling enough? I have to go for this and that and so on and so on. Well, you can be proud on the way that you've, learned the system. Say amen. That's got a thing to do with that. There's pride there. The intellectual pride, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 8 and 12. Knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. In other words, you can think you know a lot, but it's not according to what God thinks is knowledge, and it's junk. And Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean ye not upon your own understanding. Then we have the material pride. Deuteronomy 8 and 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And all over now, we're praying to be blessed with money. And we think that that shows how much faith we have. And then we get proud about it. We get up, I prayed for this, and it's spiritual pride. So much of it going on right now. Spiritual pride. How much you know. How spiritual you are. How you prayed and got all these riches. I am believing God for a new... I walked around that building and claimed it. And you just claim the other people out of the building so you can go in? The Lord showed me that building is mine. Did He show you your heart at the same time? I doubt it. But all kinds of things like that show how much spiritual pride there is. It's kind of mean when you get a look at ourselves once in a while. We need to confess our pride and get rid of it. And it creeps up all the time. Believe me. I know this itself is the reason why people don't have adequate faith. Self has not been surrendered to God yet. And so we have to dictate to God how He should answer our prayers and when. My faith says that 3:15 you're going to answer this prayer. We're on a time schedule here, you know. Some of the prophecies in the Bible are still being fulfilled from, you know, a few thousand years back. But in the new age, we claim it by faith, and it will happen at 3:15, according to your faith. And we take a little bit of Scripture and we turn it around to our own liking and wrestle the Scriptures to our own destruction. That's what's happened right now. We have not surrendered ourselves to God when we're in that kind of action. We give up everything except that last thing. The last thing anyone ever wants to give up is their self. In the world, they call it survival, self-survival, survival for the fittest. And they'll do anything to stay alive in self. Isn't that right? Anything and everything to stay alive in self, no matter how miserable everybody is around them. They must live on. They must be exalted. I was sitting and I seen one of these machines that went off and a red light went blip, 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 blip. Something was going wrong in this cleaning machine. This red light was going blip, 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 going on and off. And I thought, oh, if the human interior worked this way, when the internal workings were upset, would the light go off? Would be great. Unsurrendered self, unsurrendered self. Woo, 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 huh? But really, listen, don't kid yourself. Signs are put out. You can see it in the face. Jealousy. Isn't she just a doll? And you just look, you can feel a spirit of jealousy come around the other women that are there. Isn't she petite and isn't she lovely and isn't she altogether precious? Oh, yes. Huh? You mean that actually happens in prayer groups and churches and things like that? Oh, yes. I really do mean it. Said it, and I'm glad. But you can see it on the face, the hatred. That's a red light that's going on and off. The greed and the lust and the gluttony and the envy and the slothfulness. Could you help me with this or that? Brother, I don't mean for you to have a heart attack or anything. Goodness, go sit down. I think I've weakened your constitution to the near point of dying. Sit over there and recoup. But you can tell it, and the pride that comes up, the haughty look, the wingtip crowd, you know what I mean, with the shiny suit on and the hair comb back just so, you know, and all the nose hairs picked just right. No ear hair in there, and just powdered up and just looking like a statue. Okay? That sort of pride shows up. We are proud of our company. Huh? See, only when you get self off of your hands totally and get into God's hands does a face light up with freedom. When you're not free, you're tied up in yourself. And you'll make everybody around you just miserable. It ends up in a sort of a pride thing is what it is. Isn't that right? Hey, look at me. Hey, look me over. Now, if a person's doing a whole lot of work and they complain about it all the time and they get in sort of a prideful thing on how much they're doing, what good are they? Better off if they just went home. My God, they're a bore. But anyway, with all the resentments there are and annoyances in our lives, it's a blessing to give yourself to God. Isn't it? Isn't it a blessing? Here, Lord, I got all these problems and all these frustrations and all these jealousies and all these hatreds and all these bitternesses and all this pride. My red light is flashing, Lord. God will take you on. See? And a lot of times we get very good at covering up our pride. That is the most humble person I have ever seen in my life. And while they're saying that, the person almost has to turn around and snicker himself. Oh, God. Ooh. But wouldn't it be a blessing to give this great big package of misery to God? If this pride that keeps you in yourself. Because if you keep yourself, you're going to have a lot of conflicts. Self turned over to God is a contribution, but self-centered on self is off-center, and it's got to be because God has got to be your center. And as long as people are patting us on the back, we're on top of the world. But when we're not getting the, you're great, you're wonderful, well done. Boy, I don't know how you do it. What a man. You are something else. And we try to act humble, you know. Oh. But it shows up on our face. You cannot stop from strutting. Hey. Huh? How many are hearing this? Well, maybe you don't want to hear it. You're going to hear it anyway. Lock all the doors and windows. You're going to hear this message before they leave here. And you on the radio, don't turn it off or suck on a Pepsi unnecessarily. Hear it. Oh, how do you do it, guy? What's the secret?
Well, it's really no secret. It's God's grace. Huh?
But if we're not hearing things like this, a lot of times people are in the dumps. Doesn't anybody notice what I've been doing around here? Huh? Because, see, it's always the self that's demanding, you know, demanding, always, always, always. It's not a dedicated self. No, it isn't. And a demanding self is always a very unhealthy and very unhappy, unadjusted self. Always. Well, a person told me, I haven't really gotten to know myself yet. Don't search too deeply. They have these little groups now, get to know yourself. What makes you tick clubs?
And they sit around and they delve into what, now the reason you're this way or that way or so on like this and that is because of this or that. Why not give it over? Why not just give all that misery to God, and why counsel on it continually and constantly and always and just say I'm miserable and so on, and it all stems back to pride. Always. It's self again. And I don't care if you're in rags or you're in furs. But I haven't really gotten to know myself yet. I'm going to a self-awareness class. Really? I told one person that was going to go to them self-awareness classes, I said, don't do it. I said, good, give up before it becomes a habit with you. Don't do it. You'll just sit around talking about yourself. All these meetings, they mean nothing. The Bible says, forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. And I said, all you need to know is that you need change daily. The Bible says, die daily. You get up in the morning and just look in the mirror and say, die. Isn't that a hard thing to do? Huh? To wake up in the morning. Oh, maybe that the kids are getting on your nerves, or maybe the job is getting on your nerves. Maybe this is it. You always use your nerves for an excuse. Your nerves are just tell you, you know, they project things. But there's nothing wrong. Your nerves are working real good. That's the problem. Oh, I'm just nervous, you know what I mean? They always blame it on that, see? What it is pride, and it's an unsurrendered self. So we get up, we're discontented with kids, we're discontented with job, we're discontented with church, we're discontented with the preacher, we're discontented with parents and grandparents, and we're just, in general, discontented all of the time. Now, how many are hearing this? Discontentment. Need to get up in the morning, look into the mirror, and say, die. Now, I know a lot of people don't like this kind of preaching. You know why? They do not want to die. I got a right to sing the blues. Ooh, I got a right to sing the blues. Down along the river, fall in. Die. Hey, you on the radio, that's better than going to a self-awareness class. They're not going to tell you anything you don't already know. It's just that you're covering it up. You're glossing it over. Now, how do you know all these things, Pastor Paul? I'm talking about myself. I thought so. Well, hey. I'm saying that these things are inherent in everybody. And until what we let the Lord show us these things, we never want to do anything for anyone. We're too bound up with ourselves. Isn't there a song like that? I'm beginning to get to be a habit with me. Huh? All you need to know, brother, is that you need to change masters. You cannot serve two masters. How many know that? How many know you cannot serve? You cannot serve yourself and God at the same time. You can't do it. Okay, you all raised your hands, then go ahead and do it. You on the radio, you put your hands up, go ahead and do it. Now, the world's pretty smart. They say, easier said than done. It's the truth, isn't it? Isn't it easier said than done? Because you get up in the morning and you don't want to die. You want everybody else to die.
so you can live more comfortably. Isn't that self-preservation? Why do you have to be screaming and yelling? Don't you know your mom's sleeping, trying to get a little rest and peace and quiet? Huh? Be glad when you're all gone! You're not with them now. They're not with you now. They forgot you were even in bed. That's why they're screaming so loud. There's no love there. There's no dedication to family. There's nothing. It's all a self-lifting up. So many people surrender their problem and not themselves. They'll tell you, and they'll say, I surrender this problem to you, God. No, surrender the problem. You see, if you surrender yourself, the problem is taken care of. The problem is you. It's like blaming it on your nerves again. Or your what you've inherited. How many are hearing this? See, you surrender yourself and the problem is all gone. Oh, that's too easy, isn't it? You'd rather suffer for a few dozen years and go to endless classes on how to be delivered. Now, when you buy groceries and it says home delivery, what does that mean? They bring you just a cabbage or a head of lettuce or something at a time? No, they deliver you the whole bag. Why don't you give your whole bag to God? The whole kit and caboodle. And you know how you do that? You die daily. You take orders from the Lord and you are delivered daily. And you don't say, why can't people be like me? Praise God that they are not like you. Why can't they learn and be like me? Praise God that they don't learn and are like you. Because there again is a spiritual pride. Granted, there are a few nincompoops. But when that sort of attitude comes forth, it shows spiritual pride again, doesn't it? Why can't they be like me? Why do they have such a stunted growth? You know what? God can make possibilities out of problems. You know, a guy says, now this kid, I'll tell you, now they send me people from the system. And they say, well, now here's one from this, got to drunken driving and so on like this. And the guy says, we're going to send him down to Disciples Ministry. He said, you know why? He says, if anybody can handle him, you can handle him down there. And right away, I was sitting on the phone and I started to get that old pride smirk. Well, it's really the Lord, you know. See, if I don't minister about myself, I cannot minister to you because you cannot take the kind of preaching I got. You don't want to hear it, people, and I'm talking to radio. And some of you, talking to all of us. Because people don't want to hear about it. Isn't that right? If I don't put myself into the meeting, nobody's going to listen at all. My God, you won't. But God says there's possibilities here in this person. Don't call them a problem. Give the problem to me and I'll show you all the possibilities that they have. Are you hearing this? Well, maybe you don't want to hear it. Did you turn me off and you turn me back on again? Now you'll just have to send for the tape. But don't use people for your own selfish purposes. Because when they don't meet your need, it will make you ill. You let me down. My husband let me down. My God, he let me down. Huh? My wife let me down. My kids let me down. My in-laws let me down. My daughter-in-law, my son-in-law, my what? They let me down. And you depend on them to do something. You end up making yourself sick. When they don't meet your particular need, what's a mother to do? Drop dead. Pray, fast, believe God. You guys fall asleep in there? His face laying on the microphone. See, they didn't meet my need. I can't depend on nobody. And Mick or Donner is saying, that never happened before to us. I'll never depend on you guys again. But you get resentful of that person. Next, you start to get bitter. Next, you start to have hatred. Next, you get physically and mentally ill. What's a mother to do? Some, even to get attention, retreat into illness. They're all over in the hospitals. I talked to two gals one time that had this, what do they call it, they starve themselves, anorexia. And I went in the room and I told these two girls, they're laying there, look like skeletons. And I said, you know what, you're the most unattractive people I've ever seen in my life. I says, you have no form, no shape, no nothing. Whoever's going to look at you, now get two malted milks and let's get with it. And she, well, I was a little bolder in my ministry in those days. And so that night they had two malts and I left and never seen them again. And I seen the one girl down somewhere, downtown someplace, or Target. And there she was. She was pleasingly plump, but she was happy. She was all caught up in being slender. She was starving herself to death. But some, in order to get attention, don't you see, they retreat into an illness. And they become permanently ill. There are cripples in this country. When they're alone, they get up and jitterbug. Did you know that? They get up out of their wheelchairs. Maybe you're listening to me today. I don't know. And you get up out of the wheelchair and you jitterbug and you go through the ice box like a scavenger when everybody's gone to work. Caught a few hundred people right there. Or you roll out of your sick bed. Of course, there are some that actually can't move. Some, when the attention is off of them, they suddenly are delivered when they can get their attention off themselves. In the service during the Korean War, if they wanted to get somebody out of the bed that they felt was goal-breaking, or they even had a leg cut off or an arm cut off or something, just laying there in tears and just a miserable lump. They would make them mad. They got the attention off of themselves onto that doctor, and their main objective was they even forgot they didn't have that leg. That's how they got them out of bed. Maybe you got to make each other mad to get some kind. My mother used to say that all the time. Make them mad or glad, one way or another, they get up off it. How many are hearing this? Or they become frightened. Someone yells, fire! And up they come. Because a self-centered person is very sick. It is a sickness. They're self-centered. And they are sick. You can tell when that spirit comes on them. And actually, it's disguise. It actually is pride. The lips hang out. The face hangs out. The whole personality changes. Either they go into a slump or they get very, very angry. And it's all pride. They're not getting their own way, and they want to get their way by being sick or tired or sick and tired or mad. It's all pride. So if you're